Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, John Chuar, Gray Beard Coaching, Christine Rebeck, who is Cressa, John Hillen, George Mason University, Mark Haas, AEG's V-Band, Contactually, Ali Alaj, Boost Labs, Jeffrey Hervey, Bregman Berbert, John Bailey, Wood Street, and Fred Press, Press Dozier in Hamelburg. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. John, please give us the rundown.
Our guests today are Viraj Gandhi, CEO of Paradigm Management, Karen Killian, CEO of LMD Agency, Mark Watson, owner and co-founder of Exterior Medics, and Steve Marino, President and Chief Strategy Officer of Agency Q.
Excellent. Let's get to know our first guest, Viraj Gandhi, CEO of Paradigm Management. Viraj, what is Paradigm Management?
We're a data management firm that focuses on the federal government.
And how large or how small is this organization?
We have 200 people, $30 million in revenue.
How'd you get a job with this company?
I founded the company in 2003.
How young were you when you founded it?
23.
And where are you from originally?
Queens, New York.
How many brothers and sisters?
One brother.
And tell us a little bit about your brother and what his reputation was and is.
So 4 years was the age difference. He had a reputation of being a great athlete, still does on Long Island, and I think I had some part in helping.
What'd you do to him?
We just practiced all day long basketball in the driveway.
So you were drilling your brother when he was a kid, your younger brother, huh?
I was.
Uh-huh. And you mentioned to me that in Queens, he's like famous nowadays, and you're known as his older brother, but he's the one who's famous. Is that true?
Correct. He's in the Long Island Hall of Fame for a couple different sports, basketball and football.
So how do you feel about your brother being famous and you not being famous and you're the older brother?
I feel great. I helped him out. It's a part of my success.
So you were drilling your brother when he was a kid, and you know you're happy that he's the star. What's that have to do with building this organization called Paradigm Management?
I look at it as paying it forward. The people in my company can only be successful, which helps my company be successful. So helping people professionally and personally grow is really what has made Paradigm, you know, excel.
Who's over got the next question? Fred, go.
You obviously were a mentor to your brother. How much as an adult do you do, both within the company and in the community? How much do you do?
Excellent.
How much mentoring do you do?
We actually have a mentoring program within Paradigm Management to pair new employees and just younger employees up with older or more seasoned employees. And then in the community, the Greenbelt community, we actually donated a computer lab to the Spring Hill Lake Recreation
Excellent.
Center.
Jeffrey.
Raj, you said earlier that your brother was better at basketball than you were. Did that change how you behaved with other people?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm pretty competitive, but I accept the areas that I'm.
You think you
great.
Helped your brother become a star like you described?
I do. I mean, constant practice and constant beating and bullying.
And has that helped you in your business today?
Absolutely, with the exception of the bullying part.
Z?
So you started a company when you were 23, so it sounds like it's pretty obvious that you're going to be starting a company at some point. Tell us about your parents.
So my father was an entrepreneur. My mother was a stay-at-home mom until later in life. And my father came from India and started a business when he was 20, barely could speak English. So that entrepreneurship blood kind of runs in the family.
Mm-hmm. John?
What did you do, Raj, when you weren't doing sports and with your brother? What did you do when you were a kid? How did you spend your time?
Well, I was a little entrepreneur. I had candy bars that I bought from BJ's or Costco's and put them in a Ziploc bag and sold them door to door.
How young were you when you did this?
Eight.
And where did the idea come from?
A friend of mine and I just wanted extra money so we can buy baseball cards.
So you understood supply and demand, huh?
I did, and I also understood marketing.
Uh-huh. Did you ever work in your dad's store?
I did. I started at 7. I worked the counters at his camera.
Didn't you have a special memory at that store?
I do. You know, there was a point in time where I was working the cash register, and there was multiple people lined up. I could see the annoyance on their faces as I was taking a lot longer, and I looked over at my dad to kind of jump in, and he didn't. And he just looked at me and said, "You got this."
So what did that do to you? What was the effect of that?
It gave me confidence.
What are you talking about?
It just allowed me to know that anything I put my mind to, you know, one, I had my father's back, but I can do, even if it takes me a little bit longer at first.
How young were you when that happened?
I think at that time I was 8.
Wow. John Bailey.
You mentioned that you helped your brother become the basketball player that he became, and you mentioned in your that your business is about helping people and the quality of those people. What else, you know, when you were a child, did you do to help people, help them be better people?
You know, I mean, in school, in high school, I was president of the student body, and then I was a leader in two organizations. And part of it was just being the voice for those people that wanted to
know. What were those two other organizations?
Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Students Against Drunk Driving.
Were you affected by drunk drivers?
I was not.
So why'd you do that?
Two organizations that needed leadership.
So you felt giving back was helping lead?
I did.
Uh-huh. Kristen, what are you thinking?
You talked a lot about having your entrepreneurial background from your father. What did you get from your mother, and what did she do?
So my mother worked as a cosmetician for 34 years in the same place. So I got the diligence, the perseverance, and just the ability to do something very, very well every day without complaining.
Mark?
Yeah, what memories do you have from that time in your life when you were younger, sort of from the family side of things that sort of gives you comfort that you remember?
Family dinners. We you know, even as my father was an entrepreneur, we always waited to have dinner together as a family, and that was extremely comforting. Waited, and sometimes it was 8:30, 9 o'clock, but family dinners were...
Wait. What's this comfort have to do with being a successful entrepreneur? I thought entrepreneurs were like crazily driven and stuff.
I think comfortability comes with confidence and knowing what you're able to do and knowing what you're able to provide, especially for the employees.
Mark, what's your follow-up question to that?
Yeah, it was how does this translate? If that was so important to you growing up and you remember that, how does that translate into how you run your company?
So people spend a lot more time sometimes at work than they do at home. So having a comfortable environment is extremely important. I want my people to feel like they work at a place that they can be comfortable and they can share, whether it's personally or professionally, things that are good and bad.
And what did you do at work to make work seem more like a home in particular, something your company's known for?
Yeah, so we have I bring my dog to work. My dog is the chief canine officer. He has his own LinkedIn profile, Facebook page, and he is the star of the company. That's one. Two, we've designed the workspace different than most government contractors. We have a very open, collaborative layout.
Mm-hmm. How does a chief canine officer help with your productivity for your company?
Yeah, so we, you know, have folks that basically take a break from work and ask me. Well, now they don't really ask, but they just take Caden for a walk. So that is a great way for them to kind of release stress and just get away from their, you know, hard projects or things like that. They could just hang out with the dog.
John?
You said your mom was a cosmetician. What are the similarities between being a cosmetician and a CEO of Paradigm Management?
It's lipstick on a pig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think the commonalities are?
I think you know, cosmetics is about marketing and making sure that things are looking good, and I think to attract talent, we really make sure that we not only just look good, but we, you know, there's depth with that. We make sure that the company has things that people are looking for and provides a good place for people to work.
Jeffrey, what are you thinking?
Raj, you indicated earlier that you got perseverance from your mother. When you were 8 to 14 years old, what kinds of things were you having to persevere?
Later, closer to 13, 14, my father had to shut down the business because larger companies came in and there was just no room for mom and pop. So I saw the struggle. I saw my mom start going to work and work at a place that she probably never thought she would have to do. And my father had to go work for somebody, and I saw him persevere for his family. I know as an entrepreneur myself, it would be very hard to cut what I'm doing and go work for somebody.
What did that do to you? What does the lasting effect of that on you?
It made me realize that stability is never guaranteed.
Fred?
I've never heard of a chief canine officer. How has that affected the culture on a day-to-day basis in the company?
The culture is fun and dynamic, and I think when people see that and see him on our website, they just see us as a very fun and different government contractor.
John?
Yeah, where'd you get your ability to talk to customers?
Working at the counter of my dad's store.
How young were you?
7.
And what do you remember about that?
I remember trying to sell cameras that I had no idea about, but just talking to people and smiling and making sure that I related to them in some personable way.
Didn't that frighten you? I mean, you know, you're in dad's store, dad's going to yell at you, and you're going to blow the sale?
No, because that just was not my dad's personality. He wanted to include me in all of that, and I learned from that.
What did that teach you about building a team?
Treat everybody equally, number one.
I read the newspapers, though. I thought business was, you know, if somebody doesn't do their job, you just fire them.
That can be true. We just don't look at it like that. I mean, there are always things that affect people, and I like to understand what those things are. And sometimes they're personal things, they're professional things, and they're just different challenges. So understanding what a person really...
Wait a minute. You're telling me that the way you run your business is trying to understand the individuals?
Absolutely. That's what we sell, right? We sell people and services.
I didn't realize that. All right, what's the website address of Paradigm Management?
It's paradigmmanagement.com.
How do you spell that?
P-A-R-A-D-Y-M-E, management.
.com. We've been speaking with Viraj Gandhi, who is the CEO of Paradigm Management here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Oh, yeah.
And your name is?
Lisa Kirschenbauer.
And the name of your organization?
Omega Wealth Management.
And what makes Omega Wealth Management special?
So what we're doing is we're bringing together something that looks like life coaching and financial planning. We're helping people live a life without regrets.
Wait. You're doing life coaching and financial planning all in one?
Yeah, absolutely. We work with a lot of entrepreneurs and people in significant transition, and it's much more about the money. It's about the people.
So, actually, now that you're mentioning it, I don't understand how you could do one without the other. Am I mistaken
exactly.
about that?
Exactly. We don't understand how you can give advice without understanding what's deeply important to people and what they want to achieve and how to get over the obstacles.
Wait a minute. What's deeply important to people? What do you mean?
Yeah, so we go through a whole process, a series of questions and exercises. We do assessments to understand their strengths. So we really do. They tell us things that they've never told even their spouses sometimes in their first meeting with us.
So you're really getting to know your clients, and then from that, you're able to help them plot their financial future, I guess.
Yeah, and it's often a very different direction than they came in thinking that they were going to go with us.
I guess you find that rewarding, though, don't you?
Oh, it's deeply rewarding.
Do you mean?
Well, because we're helping people see the possibilities, see the opportunities, and then we're their thinking partner to get there. And basically, we're having a positive and significant impact on many people, on many families. It's life-changing.
So you really enjoy the depth of the relationship.
Absolutely.
You just happen to be a financial planner.
Yep, pretty much.
Uh-huh. You have personal relationships with your clients?
Interestingly,
what's the website address here?
It's omegawealthmanagement.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Omegawealthmanagement.com.
And your name again is?
Lisa Kirschenbauer.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. Back in a moment.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
You became a nurse for a lot of reasons. You care about people, and you love taking care of them. Being a nurse is who you are. But today, many medical facilities require nursing candidates to have bachelor's degrees, so you're probably going to want to have that degree. But you work. You may have a family. How can you possibly fit getting your bachelor's degree in your already tight schedule? With the online RN to BSN Bridge Program at Independence University, our online learning model helps you balance your work, your family, and your desire to move up in your nursing career. Class sizes are small and personal, and we're 100% focused on helping you through the program so you can earn your degree. An IU's online RN to BSN program is accredited by the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education. Our goal is to help you achieve your goals. Independence University's online RN to BSN program. Call now.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Karen Killian, CEO of LMD Agency. Karen, what is LMD Agency? What are you guys doing?
We're a strategic communications company. We're a change agency.
Give me that again.
Strategic communications.
Uh-huh. And a change agency. So you're doing marketing, all different kinds of marketing stuff then.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And yes. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Maryland, Ellicott City.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two brothers, one older, one younger.
So you're the middle of three. What was the effect of you growing up the middle of three kids and being the only girl?
Well, I definitely took control and became the leader. I was also the spokesperson for the kids.
What do you mean you were the spokesperson? What are you talking about?
I did the communicating. My younger brother actually didn't speak until he was almost two, not because he couldn't, but because he didn't have to. I was speaking for him.
So you understand people, and you understood what your brother was communicating. You would communicate for him. Isn't there a direct connection in your communication understanding back then and what you're doing nowadays?
Sure, absolutely. Helping our clients communicate, help them tell their story, mm-hmm. help them get their message out there.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned that when you were a kid, I think it was dad lost his job and mom and dad ended up starting a business or something like that?
They did. My dad lost his job in a corporate buyout. So my mom bravely quit her job, mm-hmm. and the two of them started a small business.
So what was the effect on the family with mom and dad both getting involved with starting this business?
Well, we definitely as kids had to be more independent.
How about you as the only girl? What did that do to you?
Well, I definitely had to pick up the slack and take control.
Did they tell you to pick up the slack, or did you just do it?
No, I innately did it. I liked the leadership and the responsibility, not so much the dishes and the
house
cleaning.
What did you learn taking responsibility for your older and younger brother when you were a kid that you use nowadays in terms of building this agency, LMD Agency?
I like building teams, and I like leading those teams, and you know, helping some of the team members grow, uh-huh. and being
gotcha.
The spokesperson.
John Bailey, what are you thinking?
So your parents started a business together doing, you said, kitchen design?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you take from both of them that you say, you know, watching them start this business and run this business that you use today?
Well, they blended. My mom was a fine artist, my dad was a facilities guy. And so they blended their talents in the creative field. And so I took my talents in both creative as well as business to start the company.
How successful were your parents' business while you were growing up, and how did it affect you?
They were fairly successful. They were committed to doing a good job. I think they were also, you know, at the same time, new entrepreneurs at a time where it wasn't really typical. And they did this in their 50s. And so watching them go through the struggles and take that risk gave me the resilience.
Jeffrey, what are you thinking?
So, Karen, you said that your business is a change agency. What were you a change agent when you were 8 to 14 years old?
Yes, I think so.
What's that mean?
I think being faced with change and then being someone that steps up and makes a change.
You dealing with changes today in your business?
Definitely. Technology has changed the communications industry drastically, so we've had to change our services. And as a small company, we win and lose contracts all the time, and so it's being agile and flexible to keep the business growing.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, what do you think?
You had mentioned that your parents started an entrepreneurship, you know, when you were younger. What did that do to you in terms of how you feel like you are now today in your business? Did it help you become a leader? Did it help you to, you know, start something new on your own?
Yes, I do. I think that it gave me the confidence to be able to not worry about risk, take chances, and always look for new opportunities. When one door closes, you know, another one opens, and to be the person that opens that door was what I wanted to do.
What do you mean? You wanted to be the person that opened that door? That's frightening, isn't it?
Well, it's survival, but you know, when you're looking at some of your services being commoditized, it is paying attention to the market.
That's courage, yeah, Fred.
Yeah. You didn't come in as the CEO. You came in a long time ago and then worked your way up. Correct. How much being the middle child, typically a middle child as a diplomat, in addition to your case taking control, how much do you think that contributed to your ability to work your way up?
Well, I think a great deal, because I came in as part of a team, and then when there was a need and an opportunity, stepped up to lead the team.
Just like you did as a kid when mom and dad took the job, and right. You had to go step up with the family. John?
Karen, you talked a lot about your family. Some people refer to your friends that you grew up with as your second family. What kind of kids did you hang out with? What kind of clubs and activities were you in 8 to 14?
Two very different kinds. I was interested in arts and music. I managed a local band, but then I was also in the computer clubs, learning Fortran at an early age.
And how many other kids did computer science and artistic things?
Not a lot. I had two different groups of friends, but I'd always wanted to do both.
And which of these two brains of yours, left brain or right brain, that you grew up with, do you use the most as a leader in your organization?
It has to be both. I mean, on a daily basis, it's being creative and also being logical.
Mark?
So from that period of 8 to 14, do you have any tangible physical items that you've retained that are really important to you?
It's memories, I think, that are captured in a photo album. It's probably the only thing that I've brought with me at this point.
And what are the special photos that you have?
Family photos and photos that show our family going through the changes that we went and coming out on the other side.
Wow. Zvi.
So helping navigate a company through changing times and helping clients navigate their company through changing times, I'm assuming you must have a love of uncertainty, especially going through your childhood.
It's a challenge, and I think it's a challenge that I embrace and everyone at LMD embraces too. We like solving problems. We like fixing things, uncovering what are the problems.
And what hits me is that you're actually doing this for your client. I mean, what you naturally took on is the middle of three kids as the only sister, and what you move through with the agency in its own right is what you do with your clients. You like creating change.
Absolutely.
Huh. So when you're sitting with your clients, you're really getting to know where they're coming from in order to help figure out where they need to go?
Mm-hmm. What their situation is and then what they aspire to. What problem are they? Do they have? You know, are they trying to launch a new product? Are they trying to gain
what
awareness?
What part of this is getting to know them personally as opposed to on a business level?
That's very important because we do... It's not really B2G or B2B. We view it as
people.
We're working with
What's
people.
The website address of LMD Agency?
It's lmdagency.com.
Let me have that one more time.
lmdagency.com.
We've been speaking with Karen Killian, CEO of LMD Agency, back in a moment right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that. They've succeeded in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars, and some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
BizTalk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the BizTalk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, BizTalk Radio. Alexa, open BizTalk Market Tips.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and then find out you're going blind. I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me, so I was relieved to find that treatments for some forms of AMD are available, and research for additional treatments is underway. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this?
Mm.
How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Mark Watson, owner and co-founder of Exterior Medics. Mark, what is Exterior Medics? What do you do?
Exterior Medics is a replacement contractor focusing on the exterior components, so roofing, siding, gutters, windows, doors.
All right. So, and this is for residential, for homes?
Residential, multifamily.
Mm-hmm. And where are you from originally?
Originally from Bedford, England.
And how young were you when you moved? You moved a bunch of places. Where did you move from and to? Give us that litany.
Yeah, left England at 11, moved to Hawaii, left Hawaii at 12, moved to Biloxi, Mississippi, left Biloxi, Mississippi at 14, moved to the Netherlands, and at 19 I moved to Virginia.
All right. What what did you learn through all that disparate moving?
It's adapting to change and diversity.
What's that have to do with building this business?
That's what we do as business leaders. We have to adapt to ongoing change, different cultural changes, and diversity within the workforce.
Mm-hmm. How young were you when mom and dad got divorced?
I was 8 years old.
And where was that?
That was in England.
And what did that? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have four sisters and a stepbrother.
So you have four sisters and a stepbrother. And where were you in the pecking order?
I am the oldest.
So when mom and dad got divorced and you were eight, and you're the oldest, what did that do to you?
It was a time where I felt like I needed to step up and be the man of the house, even at an early age.
Well, right. Did somebody tell you to do that, or did you just felt that way?
I think I just felt that way. It's just innate.
Interesting. And earlier when we were speaking, you mentioned that you also felt you needed to be there for your sister?
Absolutely. Yeah, as the older brother, and my sister Samantha was the one that was closest to me. I felt like I needed to be there for her.
But you were going through your own trauma. What do you mean you wanted to be there for her?
Well, I think I understood it more as the older the siblings, as young as I was, and also, quite frankly, be there for my mother also, to seeing what she was going through firsthand.
Boy, oh boy, you got this protective thing going on. I'm wondering, what's that tell us about how you build your team at this organization known as Exterior Medics?
I think meeting people where they are is extremely important, and that means that you have to be there and be able to adapt and to listen and connect.
What's fascinating to me is, you know, you felt protective of your mother and also your sister through this divorce. You must have been pretty upset with your father and never talked to him again.
Quite the opposite. I didn't become upset with my father until much later in mm-hmm. life, until early adulthood.
Uh-huh. So you felt you maintained a relationship with your dad?
Absolutely. Even with living in different time zones, different countries, halfway over across the world, still, I, you know, as a young child, I held him up.
So as this ability of yours to stay connected through difficult times, I'm wondering if that's helped you build a team.
Absolutely, because, again, we're always going to be faced with adversity in our businesses. And
so as opposed to separating and getting angry, you just stay as part of one.
Absolutely.
You have that ability.
Team and community is the most important part.
So when times get tough, as opposed to pulling away, you stay right there with them, don't you?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question?
Mark, all that moving around will happen when you're a teenager. Did you make friends easily at each of these new locations, or just kind of were you a loner and just, you know, made your own way each time you arrived in a new country or new place?
No, I was able to make friends and adapt quickly, which was helpful, and you know, really wanted to blend into the surrounding culture and that I was faced with.
Go ahead.
So you mentioned your family comes from a blue-collar background, right?
That's correct.
Was it obvious that you're going to be starting Exterior Medics?
Not at all. No, I in high school knew that I wanted to start a company. That was probably more rebellious and not wanting to listen to people than it was the entrepreneurial spirit. But no, it wasn't necessarily that I was sought out to start in the construction industry.
Jeffrey?
So Mark, before we started, you said you found yourself mowing grass in the Biloxi heat while other people were playing basketball. Why did you keep doing that?
That's right, because I think from an early age, I mean, especially with my mother after the divorce, I watched her do whatever it took to make ends meet.
But didn't you want to be with your friends playing basketball instead of mowing grass in the heat?
Sure I did, but I wanted to be able to make money and afford to do things that I wanted to do also.
So how did you bring that forward to your business today?
You do whatever it takes, and you know, things aren't always fun. It's not always the fun, easy job or what you want to be doing.
Mr.
It's what's
Bailey?
Necessary.
So your parents got divorced. You moved around a lot. Why was that?
My stepfather was in the Air Force and met my mother when he was stationed in England.
And what was your relationship like with him growing up?
It was strained. It wasn't as much of a father-son relationship from an emotional standpoint, but he was always there. And again, I grew to appreciate that in adulthood.
Fred?
The skills you need in your business are not necessarily something you learn in school. When did you first start learning these skills, and how did it help you as you became an adult?
I started learning the skills, again, I think adapting to cultures and being able to fit in instead of stand out. You know, appreciate everybody for who they are, what they are, and know that you're a part of something bigger.
Mark?
It's not about you.
So as we get to young adulthood, we start to have a sense of how the world works, and we sort of lock in on a metaphor about how you are and how you relate to others, and that could be as a war or family or something else, some physical thing. What's the metaphor that you go back to?
Yeah, for me, it's really is about community and being part of something, being a moving, working part of something.
Wait. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
So,
I mean, you moved around a whole mess to really different kinds of places as a kid. You know, mom and dad got divorced. What do you mean part of a community?
Well, you fit in to a community and you...
So you want to belong, but
absolutely.
Yet you're able to lead. So you're able to participate as well as dominate?
Well, I think that leadership doesn't necessarily have to align with dominance in the traditional sense.
That's what I wanted to know, Ali.
So you mentioned before that you were the man of the house, but who taught the man of the house? Who were your influential role models growing up?
Well, I'd look at it and I'd say that some of it came from coaches. Others came from other family members outside of the household. My uncles played a big part of that, and other male role models within the family.
Did you seek them out, or did they find you?
They were there, and that's where that family connective part comes from. It was always there.
What do you mean? This was your natural father's brothers?
And my mother's brothers also, on both sides.
So you naturally listen to people?
As long as it wasn't my stepfather.
Uh-huh. But you really like input. Do you, when it comes to building your business, are you the smartest person on the team?
Not at all. And I don't want to be either.
Really? Do you think that came, that training came from the fact you were listening to your uncles and stuff like that?
I think it had part to do with it, absolutely. It's always having a curiosity. Again, the ability to adapt. And when I was talking about adapting to cultures also, if you don't observe, if you don't listen, if you don't take that information in and process it, then you're not going to adapt properly.
But that's a lot of work. That's a lot of responsibility. If you keep listening to everybody all the time, you got to keep making decisions. It's like there's no end in sight into the work involved.
You can listen, you can process, and then make better, more informed decisions.
Do you ever see yourself retiring?
Retiring in the traditional sense, no. I always want to be active, whether that be in a mentorship role, helping other...
Wait. I thought the American dream was that, you know, you go retire to Florida or somewhere in the South, and, you know, you just watch TV when you're from the age of 65 on. That's not what you want to do?
Not what I want to do, no. I want to always, again, going back to community, be part of something, part of the change, part of teaching and uplifting others.
Give me that again. I thought that if you made a ton of money, you'd just go buy some fancy cars.
Well, we can do that too, but I think the change and the impact that we have on future generations has a much more lasting impact.
You're telling me you're measuring your success in terms of the impact on a community?
Absolutely.
What do you mean?
It's everything from our workers that when they come here to this country, they don't learn it. They don't know English. They don't have homes or anything else. Their dream of the American dream is provide for their families, and seeing our ability to affect our workforce, where we see guys learning English and buying a home for the first time.
You're not just the man of the house. You're the man of the community, John.
Yeah, the term or the name of your company, Exteriomedics, how does that relate, or does that relate to personal healing?
It relates to having, a consultative approach, being always authentic in your curiosity. So being able to listen first and then act, versus the opposite of telling you and everybody else how much we know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who do you listen to now?
My wife, most of all. But I also have a business partner that is a great influence, as well as other key mentors outside of the organization.
Kristen?
You had mentioned something pretty interesting earlier, that you choose employees not based on their skill but their personality. Can you explain a little bit more about why you do that?
It's absolutely because the person behind the job is the most important. It's making sure that you understand them, again, meeting with them where they are, and that the personality fits the culture that you're trying to create within the company. And then the skills can be always learned and reinforced.
Give me that again.
It's hiring the personality and training the skill. It's the person that's behind the job, not the job itself.
So you're really looking to get to know the person, and then, oh, by the way, you'll tune up the skills from that point forward.
It's absolutely. There's a common characteristics in drive that we find in our employees.
So you're really interested in the people.
Absolutely.
So your business is not a people of people with skills. It's a people of people.
That's correct.
That just happen to have the right kind of skills. So you're really sensitive to the energy. Interesting. What's the website address of this organization?
It's exteriomedics.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Exteriomedics.com.
We've been speaking with Mark Watson, the owner and co-founder of Exteriomedics, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We're back in a moment right after this break. And your name is?
David Green.
And David, what organization are you with?
CJM Wealth Advisors.
CJM Wealth Advisors. And what is CJM Wealth Advisors? What do you guys do there?
We're a financial planning firm. We help people make good financial decisions.
Mm-hmm. And what were you doing prior to CJM Wealth Advisors?
I've been in the financial services industry for a while, but since college, I coached a bunch, did Teach for America for the mm-hmm. first spot.
Did you mention you were involved with soccer or something like that?
Big part of my life.
Uh-huh. What were you doing in soccer? Does anything to do with what you do with financial planning?
Being part of a team, for sure. So our team at CJM needs to work together to help our clients. Mm-hmm. We certainly did that on the various different soccer teams.
When somebody comes in to CJM Wealth Advisors, it's not one person they're talking to. There's a team there for them?
Absolutely.
What do you mean? Tell me more about that.
There's a lead advisors, but we're 18 people strong, and everybody plays a part in trying to help them achieve their goals.
So when a client comes in or a potential client comes in, you're introducing the other members on the team as well?
We do, absolutely.
What other kinds of stuff would they be? What other kinds of team members are there?
We have what are called co-planners. There's 10 certified financial planners. I'm not available mm-hmm. every time for my clients, so mm-hmm. they need to be able to have mm-hmm. others that could help them.
And what was the comment? What's that have to do with the soccer team? What was your role in the soccer team? Were you the best player there?
Not at all.
What was your role in the soccer team?
You know, on a team, you play your part so mm-hmm. that the team can succeed. So we're part of the client's journey towards financial independence.
You're part of it. So you see yourself as an assist on the client, trying to help understand the client and trying to assist them moving forward with their financial planning.
Yeah, we are not the star. They are the focus.
The client is the focus. Let me have the website address.
CJMLTD.com.
Let me have that one more time.
CJMLTD.com.
And your name again is?
David Green.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know
the rules can stop the pain and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Vince Chrysler, CEO and co-founder, Dark Cube. Vince, what is Dark Cube? What are you guys doing?
We are a cybersecurity startup focusing on how to bring cybersecurity capabilities to the rest of the companies out there, not just the top 5% that have money and people.
Interesting. Where are you from originally?
Originally from a small town in southeastern Ohio.
Uh-huh. And how young were you when you started playing with computers and stuff?
It was probably 10 or 11. My dad was picked up programming as an employee of the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency, and yeah. He taught me the basics then.
How young were you when he was teaching you, and what was he teaching you?
I was probably 10 or 11, and he was teaching me basics of programming in BASIC, databases and...
You were 10 years old, and your dad's teaching you about databases. He's teaching you about programming. And what were one of the first programs you wrote?
Basically, learning the programming language called BASIC, where you can loop and iterate over data and store data and have it take action in ways that you want it to do.
And you mentioned you got a job when you were 15 at a video store that ended up not being working at a video store. What was that all about?
Yeah, so a woman, an entrepreneur in my small town, had a video store, and that was at the rise of the internet, and she started the first internet service provider in southeastern Ohio, and I was her systems administrator.
So you were 15 years old. She started this thing. When you say you were the systems administrator, it sounds to me like you were her right hand. Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say. We started off with 28.8 modems and went to 33.6K and then 56K modems. I was web design and tech support and systems administrator.
So you did a little bit of everything, and you were 15. How old do you have to be to drive in Ohio?
16.
So when you got your driver's license, did that, like, shape the responsibilities that you then could take on?
It did. I was then able, we covered a several county area, so I was able to drive to the next county and take care of service calls in Barnes and other places when their internet went down.
So you're telling me everything from, designing websites and databases right on through. Did you get involved with cabling as well?
Yeah, we ran cables, and we At that time, modems were individually packaged, and you'd mount them on the rack and cable them, and yeah.
I remember that. So you did it all. You got involved with everything, and I'm wondering how that diverse technology background has anything to do with what you're doing nowadays.
Well, for me, it was about understanding all of the parts and pieces and how they fit together. And if you don't understand kind of the nuances of the individual components, you can't put together the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
In the green room, you had mentioned that you actually enjoyed the customer service side of it, but yeah. Your background sounds really technical. So how does that work out?
I always enjoy kind of making technology accessible, and I found whether it was, you know, the internet at that internet service provider, or when I was in college, I was actually phone tech support for a laptop company. And when customers would call in and have a need or a problem, being able to help them through that and fix it was brought a lot of value to me.
What do you mean it brought a lot of value to you?
Just seeing people have a need or a problem and being able to help solve that in a way that, that helped comfort
that
them.
Really turned you on. It's really the joy of doing that. Brett, what are you thinking?
You mentioned earlier your grandfather. What type of role and how did he affect your life?
So my grandfather was an Air Force pilot, Army Air Corps and then Air Force, and I always looked up and respected him, and that actually led to me into my career as an Air Force officer.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
Yes, so you obviously have a strong technical skills and you honed them since an early age, but what experience would you say most prepared you to be a business owner?
So as I just mentioned, I became an Air Force communications officer, and my first assignment was Ramstein, Germany in January of 2002 following 9/11, the spin-up of all of those activities. And as a young second lieutenant being put in charge of a group of airmen, that some of which were twice my age, and learning that as a leader, as an event ultimately as a business owner, you don't have to have all the answers, but you have to know how to build and manage a team of people that do have those answers.
So team building, you think, is one of the key skills that you developed?
Yeah, to me, at the end of the day, everything revolves around people. And if you take care of the people that are working for you and build a great team and you treat your customers like people and take care of them, the other pieces will fit together.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you learn that?
There we go.
I think I've learned it at every stage along the way, you know, whether it was in high school with that ISP or in the Air Force or, you know, even following, I spent time in the Pentagon and then the White House and then Department of Homeland Security. And all along, it's always been about people and watching, you know, normal people do extraordinary things.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
You've left some pretty prestigious and high jobs because you said there was a need for this company in cybersecurity. What made you leave and start this?
So I think at every stage along the game, along my career, I saw the great mission we were doing. And, you know, I always felt that, you know, there were pieces that were missing. And my last part of my career supporting Department of Homeland Security, I saw a big need in the cybersecurity space for accessible, affordable cybersecurity that wasn't sophisticated and complicated. And I didn't see anybody else doing in the market. And I felt very strongly that if I didn't do it, nobody else would.
If you didn't do what?
If I didn't create a company that was designed to take care of small and medium businesses and provide security, cybersecurity, in a way that helped them focus on business and sleep at night in a way that was affordable and accessible to them, then nobody else would solve that problem.
So the driving force wasn't making a ton of money. It was you saw a need. It's to fill the need. And, oh, by the way, you're going to make some money from it.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And the whole key to the whole thing is it's clients, but it's also your team.
Yeah, it's building. We have a very small team as a startup. There are seven of us. And watching each and every member of our team do things that, you know, when we talk to people and tell them what we've done, they're blown away by the fact that there are only seven of us. And that's because we have an amazing team that performs really well, and we're all focused on this mission of taking care of our customers and doing something different in a very crowded market.
And what's your role on that team?
I'm the CEO. I'm the leader. I kind of see it as, in some ways...
Are you the smartest guy on the team?
No.
Wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't have asked you that question. So you're not the smartest guy on the team?
No. You know, everybody always says this thing that you should always hire people smarter than you, but people are always afraid to do it. That's something that I feel like I've done a pretty good job of, is people that when you hire somebody that's better or smarter than you and you help support them in doing it, it's really cool to see what happens.
What's the website address of this organization called Dark Cubed?
Darkcubed.com.
We've been speaking with Vince Chrysler, CEO and co-founder of Dark Cubed, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Les, can you give us a rundown on who we've had an opportunity of speaking with today?
Sure. Richard Bynum, Regional President, Greater Washington, PNC Bank.
We have Teresa Shields, Studio Director and Principal Gensler, TJ Slotnitsky, President and CEO, iControl Data Solutions, and Vince Chrysler, CEO and co-founder of Dark Cubed.
I would like to thank my co-hosts, Les Small and Vistage, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Brian Chandler, Pretoria Law, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnato Carp, and Brett Friedman, DeLeon and Stang, for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We thank you for joining us today. By the way, what is the website address for Pretoria Law, who is our host today?
It's pretorialaw.com, P-R-O-T-O-R-A-E-L-A-W.
Pretorialaw.com. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Nice.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
BizTalk Radio.